again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller Podcast for Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, if you believe in that crap. 2019, it's December. I guess I should have probably said that, although you likely know that. Or you're really surprised and are going to scramble to do your Christmas shopping. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. My daughter, Quinn, is giggling in the background while playing with a digital cat app as she refuses to go to bed. We've got a great interview for you today. We're going to talk about impeachment 2020, the FISA report, all with Liz Harrington, the national spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee. That's right. RNC spokeswoman Liz Harrington is on the program. We covered a lot of ground. We got a lot of stuff out of her. It was a good interview. I always enjoy talking to Liz, and you will enjoy talking to Liz, or me talking to Liz as well. Quinn, keep here. Let me put this over here, Quinny. I know I could edit this out, but I'm not going to. Like I said, we talked to Liz Harrington. It's good stuff. Good stuff, and you'll enjoy it very much. You can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com if you want to complain about my kid having fun in the background or whatever you want to say to me. I'll try to respond to all of them. I'm trying to get back to being better at responding to emails. Okay, there is a couple of things I want to get to before we get to the interview, because yesterday was supposed to be the day that the Democrats voted on impeachment, and now today is going to be the day because, well, there's more people watching probably in the morning. You know, maybe they can get on networks. That's probably what they're hoping for, because the networks aren't going to interrupt their primetime viewing for basically a foregone conclusion, but they will interrupt their daytime. We'll get into that. We have Jerry Nadler making the announcement, the shocking announcement. Everybody was getting ready for a vote. They thought it was coming right up, and nope. Democrats care so deeply about this issue, and they must act now more than ever. Now it's more important. But it can wait till tomorrow and disrupt everybody's travel schedule. How much is that going to cost us as taxpayers, having all these members of Congress have to rebook their flights because Democrats wanted a bigger TV audience? We'll have the audio for you in a second, plus a blowout in the UK for the Conservatives. Huge, huge victory over there. And everybody was saying in the lead up to it, it's too close to call. Oh, my goodness. It's too close to call. It wasn't close at all. It was a joke. It was a blowout. It's decimated the Labor Party. I love it. But first, let's talk about our sponsors, shall we? Great sponsor, GetTheTea.com, Life Change Tea. Go to GetTheTea.com. It's the tea that makes you go. It keeps you regular. It makes you get rid of all those things that have been hanging around your digestive pack that don't need to be in there. You got to get that stuff out. It blocks you from being able to absorb all of the nutrition in the food that you eat. Let's be honest. You need that. The food that we eat now is heavily processed, and it's lacking in the nutrition that we used to get from our food. So whatever's in it, you've got to be able to get all of it out of it. And you have, let's just say, stuff stopping you. So you drink, get the tea. You drink a cup a day, and you get a month's supply. So you're not just getting like a cup of tea. You brew it all at once. Don't drink it all at once. Trust me, it works great on a daily basis, drinking as directed. If you drink it all at once, it works too well. But go to GetTheTea.com. They have a whole bunch of health products there. Enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout. You get 10% off your order. Check it out. They've been with us a very long time. They support the show. We support them. And I appreciate you patronizing them. And I appreciate all the emails saying, wow, this stuff really does work. Use as directed and only as directed, because there will be too much of a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, now let's, GetTheTea.com, promo code Derek for 10% off. Now, the abrupt adjournment of the House Judiciary Committee, it was a foregone conclusion. We were told we're going to have that vote on Thursday. It's over. It's just a formality. Well, they spent all day offering amendments. Republicans were offering amendments to try and change the articles of impeachment, try and bring some semblance of sanity to this thing. Democrats wanted no part of it. They all gave their little speeches. The Democrats gave their sad tales of woe about all this other crap that they're throwing out there. One member of Congress was watching golf, a Democrat member of Congress. This is the most important thing we're ever going to do, Mr. Chairman, and we must take this seriously. And I don't feel that our Republican colleagues are taking this seriously enough. Ooh, did you see that drive? Anyway, I think this is a somber moment for the country, and we all have to be on our games, and we're holding up our oath, and that's so important. Ooh, what a slice. That's terrible. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, I yield back the balance of my time because this putt is a huge putt, and I want to make sure I can focus on it all the way. Just to put a fine point on how unserious Democrats are about this whole thing, here's Jerry Nadler announcing that they're going into recess rather than going to vote. This happened after 10 o'clock. Nobody was watching anymore. Democrats were acutely aware of this. They had hoped to get this thing done mid-morning because then they could make the nightly news, and they were all excited about that. Plus, they thought maybe the networks would break in and carry it live. And as it dragged on and went into the evening, they realized that there probably weren't that many people watching anymore. And their big political ploy for the 2020 election was not going to come to pass. So they needed to delay. Now, every member up on that dais, every member of this committee had a flight planned, ready to go home for the weekend. I guarantee. Well, I know it. I know how this works. Now they all have to reschedule because Democrats want to have a larger audience watching their vote. This is their big moment to shine, many of these people. There's only one member of the committee, the Democratic member, who represents a Trump district. The rest of them are wildly safe. So there's no concern there that these people are not going to be reelected. So they now just want to have a show. They want their moment in the sun. Nobody's really risking anything. So they decided to adjourn. What's amazing is that Nadler did not tell anybody he was going to adjourn. He just basically called it a day. And you hear Republicans get confused and angry. Like, what are you doing? I thought this was the most important thing in the world that we could ever do as members of Congress, and you're postponing it until tomorrow? How serious are you about this? Why, it's almost like they're not serious at all.
There's been a long 2 days of consideration of these articles, and it is now very late at night. I want the members on both sides of the aisle to think about what has happened over these last 2 days and to search their consciences before we cast our final votes. Therefore, the committee will now stand in recess until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., at which point I will move to divide the question so that each of us may have the opportunity to cast up or down votes on each of the articles of impeachment, and to let history be our judge. The committee is in recess.
Chairman, Mr. Chairman, there was no consulting from the minority ranking member on your schedule for tomorrow, in which you just blown up schedules for everyone. You chose not to consult the ranking member on a schedule issue of this magnitude?
So typical.
This is the kangaroo court that we're talking about.
She's outrageous. It's more Stalin-esque than
unbelievable.
Not even consult.
Just Stalin-esque. Let's have a dictator. It's good to hear about that.
10 a.m.
Unbelievable.
You can hear my friend Louis Gohmert there saying this is more Stalin-esque than kangaroo court. I love Louis. Louis is such a good guy. it's just amazing. It's very late. I want everybody to sleep on this. Everybody was chosen for that committee assignment because they knew exactly how they'd vote. Every Democrat on that committee was chosen because they would toe the party line. And oh, no, I want you to go back and sleep on it. No, you don't. You want a bigger TV audience, Jerry. You want a TV audience as large as your waistline. And you just weren't getting it. You only had a TV audience the size of your stapled stomach. So he called it a day. Now, this reminded me, and somebody sent me this on Twitter after I tweeted about this. The Democrats have been telling us there's something very, very, this is the most somber day. Oh, by the way, I'm watching live because I'm a total nerd. BBC results from the UK election. And they have the Loony Party, which is just lunatics who put their name, get their name on the ballot. I don't think any of them have ever been elected, but right now they're getting results. And the Loony Party candidate is Sir Archibald Earl Eaton Stanton. And he's dressed up in something Matthew Lesko would wear. There was a guy dressed up as Elmo. They get their results live and in person all together. And there was a guy called Buckethead who had a bucket on his head. That was his thing. It's like, okay, there you go. So, yes, Democrats were, this is somber. It's the most somber thing we'd ever do. And now they're not getting TV viewership, so they call it a day. We must act. We must act quickly. It's so important. And that reminded me of this awesome scene from a hilarious movie, one of the few comedies that holds up over time, called The Naked Gun.
Wilma, I promise you, whatever scum did this, not one man on this force will rest for 1 minute until he's behind bars. Now let's grab a bite to eat.
Yeah, come on.
This is the most somber thing we've ever done. This is so important. We must act quickly. We can't wait for evidence or witnesses or any semblance of justice or proof. No. By the way, we're going to go. The buffet's closing soon, and I'm hungry, so we're going to call it a day. We'll pick this up again in the morning-ish, 10-ish. That's when they'll be reconvening at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're hoping that they can preempt all the daytime shows and get on some primetime TV. So there you have your government at work. The most somber, important thing these members of Congress can do, if you hear them talk, comparing the necessity to impeach Donald Trump to the importance of Medgar Evers and Martin Luther King. And the suffragettes, and why these are the reasons why we must impeach Donald Trump, but not today, and not late at night when nobody's watching. No. How are we going to game this out politically if nobody's watching us do this? What glory do we get if everybody's watching their favorite TV shows? So we'll come back in the morning and do this. They're such frauds and hypocrites, such absolute frauds and hypocrites. Good Lord. Oh, man. By the way, have you ever gone card shopping? I went thank you card shopping. I tried to go find some thank you cards recently. And I send thank you cards every once in a while. They're hard to find good ones. But most of the cards are crap. They really are garbage. They sit there and you're like, this is either going to bore the person to death or they're going to think I'm coming on to them. There are no just plain old funny like Christmas cards out there. At least there used to not be, especially for conservatives. Well, now there is, thanks to PatriotPenguin.com. PatriotPenguin.com has some of the funniest Christmas cards out there. There is an ad in the interview for them, but I just want to reiterate, they have a bunch of hilarious ones mocking AOC, mocking Elizabeth Warren, and they're actually funny. Most of the political humor is terrible these days. These are actually funny. Everybody in the office's favorite one is, it says across the front a bunch of times, like somebody'd written it out, I will not talk about politics at Christmas dinner. I will not talk about politics at Christmas dinner. And then you open it up and it says, but Epstein didn't kill himself. Merry Christmas. It's like everybody in the office wanted that one. I probably could have sold it for $100 if I'd have started a bidding war. But you don't have to pay anywhere near that much. All you've got to do is go to PatriotPenguin.com. Patriot Penguin, just like the bird, the flightless bird, PatriotPenguin.com. And all their Christmas cards are on sale, by the way. They ship free the next business day, so they'll be to you in plenty of time for Christmas. And as an added bonus on top of the sales, you get to enter promo code Daily Caller, all one word, no space between Daily and Caller, Daily Caller, and you get 30% off your order. 30% off on top of their already sale prices. You can't beat it. You go there and you're going to read these cards. You just go to their website, patriotpenguin.com, for a laugh. Look at the cards. Check out all the cards and you will laugh. And then you'll go, you know what? I know people who these cards would be absolutely perfect for. It's a conservative small business startup. It's good to help our own and it helps the show here. Patriotpenguin.com. Offer code DAILYCALLER, all one word, you get 30% off. Free shipping, ships the next business day, plenty of time for Christmas, for all your last-minute Christmas card needs. PatriotPenguin.com, promo code DAILYCALLER. All right, now it is time. The UK, by the way, is the elections are still rolling in. But the Conservative Party, the pro-Brexit party, even though there was a pro-Brexit party, they didn't really campaign. They kind of got in league with the Conservative Party. Boris Johnson will be the new prime minister, or the prime minister continue to be the prime minister. Labour is out. This is historic. It is a landslide, and it shows you that the citizens of the UK, even many of those who didn't support Brexit, recognize that they lost the election and the will of the people. If democracy means anything, it is following the will of the people. They put Brexit to a vote of the people. The people said, get out. And then the political establishment over there set about sabotaging that getting out, hoping for another vote, trying to delay it. Well, they got their proxy vote last night and they got their butts handed to them. It's a beautiful thing. Because Labour leader, anti-Semite Jeremy Corbyn is resigning as leader. The Democrats in this country are scrambling because all the polls said this would be much closer, and it wasn't close. It was a disaster for the left around the world, even though their conservatives aren't like our conservatives. They're better than the Labour. And it's a beautiful thing to watch because they're now in this country, the Democrats are going, oh, my God, maybe polling is really, really bad. And Donald Trump is way more popular than we thought he was. Maybe he's got a better shot of getting reelected than we thought he did. And they're already trying to impeach him to damage him for re-election. And now they're maybe thinking, damn it, he's getting more and more powerful. The people are turning against us. And if these polls are as inaccurate as the polls in the UK and the polls of 2016, maybe things are really, really going to be bad for us Democrats. Maybe that's why Jerry Nadler called it a day so early. Or maybe he just smelled somebody cooking something really good. Anyway, now is the time where we listen to the interview with Elizabeth Harrington, Liz Harrington, the national spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee. We talk 2020, we talk House races, we talk impeachment, we get into everything. You're going to enjoy this interview. So here it is. Hi, I'm TV's Derek Hunter. What? I'm on TV sometimes, not very often, and this is video, so it's kind of like TV. You know me as, well, you don't know me, but I'm the host of the Daily Daily Caller podcast, and I want to welcome our sponsor, PatriotPenguin.com today. Look, Christmas is just around the corner. All your holiday needs. Are you sick of boring holiday cards and greeting cards? Well, they're done. Just think of these Christmas cards when you send to your liberal friends or your conservative friends. Think of the fun you'll have. This one says, you can make what you want of our president, but he's got balls. He does. Merry Christmas. Then there's this one. It's going to be a favorite. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's wanted by ICE. Merry Christmas. And then there's this one. This is so true. I bought you a bunch of presents for Christmas, huh? But Elizabeth Warren just redistributed them. Seriously. And then my favorite, everybody's favorite, the hit of the holiday season. I will not bring up politics at Christmas dinner. I will not bring up politics at Christmas dinner. Bum, bum, bum. Epstein didn't kill himself. Merry Christmas. You think these are good? They're way better than that garbage you get at the drugstore or the grocery store. All you need to do to get these is go to patriotpenguin.com and at checkout, enter promo code DAILYCALLER. Make sure it's all one word, no space in there. And you get 30% off your entire order. Help conservative causes, help conservative companies, help a conservative podcast. Go to patriotpenguin.com. Don't forget promo code DAILYCALLER for 30% off all your greeting card needs.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast, the Friday video edition, Friday the 13th edition. And as you saw in our lovely ad shot just before this began, we're sponsored by PatriotPenguin.com for all your conservative Christmas and holiday and really greeting cards needs in general. Check them out. Promo code Daily Caller gets you 30% off all of your offer, everything you order. It's good stuff and it's fun stuff. Get rid of the stuffiness in your greeting cards. No stuffiness here in this week's guest. It is Republican National Committee National Spokeswoman Elizabeth Harrington. She joins us. Welcome back, Liz. You're a returning champion.
Thank you so much for having me.
If only there were something to talk about. You know, I checked the news sites today and there's nothing going on. Of course, we've got the House ready to vote on impeachment. We've got the Inspector General's report on massive, massive FISA abuses. Let's start there because I think we'll get to impeachment, but it's kind of been beaten to death. We'll give it a chance to recover a little bit. The Inspector General came out with his report on Monday, and as I predicted, immediately Democrats seized on about seven words in the report, in a 434-page report. We could find no testimonial or written proof of bias that started this investigation, which means nobody broke down and started crying while talking to him, saying, I did it out of politics, and nobody was dumb enough at the FBI of all places to go, let's screw Donald Trump because he's a Republican. But essentially everything in the body of the report is an incredible, powerful, circumstantial case about how these people went to extraordinary means to spy on the Trump campaign.
It is absolutely devastating to the Obama administration, Obama's FBI. The entire chain of command referred for further investigation. And you mentioned nobody broke down crying. Well, they did, in fact, break down crying when Hillary lost.
Oh, yes.
Kevin Kleinsmith was left, quote, numb by Hillary's loss. This is, of course, the attorney who is under a criminal referral.
Just doctored a couple of times.
The big deal? Carter Page, he's not a Russian asset. He's a U.S. asset for the CIA. And we're going to flip that and say he wasn't an asset for the CIA. It is so infuriating. And just to think what the country was put through based on this, the only evidence they had in 2016 was, in fact, for no collusion. They had Papadopoulos telling these confidential informants, there's no coordination. What are you talking about? They had Carter Page. They knew, in fact, that he had helped the CIA as a U.S. asset. And they knew Christopher Steele not only had bias against President, then candidate Trump, was he paid by the Democrats and Hillary, but that his entire reporting was a load of crap. They knew it was.
What are you trying to say, Liz?
In January 2017, they say, they find out the only source for Christopher Steele said, this is hearsay on hearsay. Does this, any of this sound familiar, by the way? This is hearsay on hearsay, barroom talk. There's nothing here. And knowing that fact, it's then President-elect Trump, knowing that this entirety of what the spying warrants were based on, the Steele dossier, was garbage. What do? They don't tell the court. They continue spying on Carter Page as a means to get into the Trump campaign and Trump transition. They do not tell the court, and they leak it to CNN. They leak the idea that the president was briefed on this to make it legitimate to spread this conspiracy theory. Senator Hawley said it so well this week when he said, what is worse? We know it's bad when foreigners meddle in our election, but what's worse when our own government does it? And that's what the Obama administration did to the Trump campaign, and it's absolutely sickening.
There doesn't seem to be any recourse, though. And I think one of the things that I find annoying and the listeners find annoying because I get the emails about it is, when is somebody going to be held accountable for this? It's not your purview of that, but I imagine you feel that sometimes, too. You've got James Comey 2 hours and 14 minutes after the Inspector General releases a 434-page legal document, cited, footnoted, everything. He's got an opinion piece up at the Washington Post declaring that it vindicated him. He wouldn't have barely had time to print it, let alone read it, then write 800 words on it, have it edited. Theoretically, the Post would have some kind of vetting process to make sure that what they're about to run, even though it's opinion, is based in reality. Yet none of that happened. And that what the left is very good at is you strike first, and that kind of sets the tone. And then you have to fight against that. You have to change it. It's like a wrong story. You, as a former journalist, know you get a wrong story out there for 24 hours, and then you issue the correction. Well, everybody who's going to read it has read it in 24 hours. They're not going to go back and get the correction. So you end up having to fight settled notions. How do you guys at the RNC sort of deal with that happening so often in the press?
Well, it of course is a challenge, but they've damaged their credibility so much. And a great benefit was having Horowitz there testifying. He clarified the little sentence that they grabbed. He was able to expound upon it. And every time the Democrats questioned him and tried to get the answer they wanted, he said, not so fast. Not only, he said he couldn't find the smoking gun. He couldn't compel evidence. He couldn't subpoena people. However, he said every answer he got was not satisfactory. And that's why all these officials, the entire chain of command, is referred for further review. So what do? We show what happened during that hearing. We lay out the facts. You know, I did a pre-buttal op-ed before the FISA report came out, just based on what we already knew was so damning. And you get that out there, and then you look at the report, it's even worse. And this is absolutely the best that it's going to get for the Democrats and the collusion truthers out there. This is an Obama appointee who didn't have the subpoena power, who couldn't compel Glenn Simpson, the Fusion GPS guy, to testify.
Couldn't get James Comey to be read back in to get his clearances about
how
the
convenient.
Important issues. Right.
Don't recall.
The most honorable man in the history of Washington, D.C. Just ask him.
Exactly. But you look at what we already knew was so damning, and it is exactly what Devin Nunes said it was. Adam Schiff lies. I mean, another way we get back at them, just play them in their own words. What they said for 3 years, what they said about the dossier, the shifting narrative. I mean, President Trump's been consistent from the beginning. We've been consistent from the beginning. You look at Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, and then once it was exposed by Devin Nunes and his hard work on his committee, once it was exposed who was paying for the dossier, that's when the narrative started shifting. Oh, well, it wasn't really the basis for the FISA warrant. It wasn't really the basis for the spy. That was a complete lie, too. I mean, they've been lying for years. And this really does dovetail into impeachment, because what did President Trump say on the transcript of the phone call day after Bob Mueller testifies? I'd like you to do us, the country, a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot. Well, reading in context now what all more we know of what they did in 2016, we've been through so much, all based on Hillary Clinton's paid-for lies that the Obama administration took and not only used to spy, but then lied to the court to spy based on her and Fusion GPS's spinning of this fake narrative. It was never true.
What's amazing and important to remember.
And they're going to impeach him for wanting to get to the bottom of how this happened?
At the beginning of this, when people started wondering about where did this dossier come from, who paid for it, the Clinton campaign, knowing full well that they were the ones who wrote the check, were mum about it until it was discovered. They didn't come out and volunteer this
information. Oh, it sounds like cover up.
well, there's a reason they didn't want their name attached to it. They liked the idea that it was tainted. You know, if it's just some guy who just compiled this stuff, there's a possibility that some of it's true. If it's a nonpartisan person who stumbled across this, well, if it's paid for by the opposition campaign, then suddenly people look at it through a different lens. And that's kind of what you guys at the RNC are a little bit stuck doing, is you're fighting well-established narratives. It's kind of ties into my first question, but in going forward, nothing that came out in the Inspector General's report, there are no civil libertarian Democrats out there outraged. You can hate Donald Trump all you want. You can despise Donald Trump all you want. Carter Page was a naval officer who went to the Naval Academy, who served this country, who worked with the CIA against a Russian asset, to out a Russian asset, to help this country. And he was spied upon. And he was lied about to be spied upon. He is somebody who had the entire apparatus of our spying technology, which is supposed to face outward, turned in on him. If somebody like that, with that background and the people in charge of it, knowing full well he hadn't done anything, he was just the convenient in, can be spied upon, can have that apparatus turned on him. I mean, there's a possibility if Donald Trump loses in 2016, that we never know that Carter Page was spied upon, that Paul Manafort was spied upon, that they went after George Papadopoulos the way they did. There's a possibility. We don't know that. If it can happen to somebody at that level and to the Trump campaign, who can't it happen to aside from Democrats?
Exactly. And where are the civil libertarians? Where are mainstream Democrats who used to, you know, be concerned about these issues? Where are they? The good news is there's a lot of voters out there that are disaffected. You had a guy named Jason from Alabama called into C-SPAN, and he said, what they did to Kavanaugh made me sick. I'm a Democrat. Now this impeachment, I'm still a Democrat, but I'm going to vote for Trump. I mean, people can see the truth, and especially when they were told one thing for so long, and everyone knows there was nothing there.
Talk about the implications here of the government doing this. Everybody, yeah. Every time you find out, oh my God, Facebook used my personal information that I willingly gave them to target ads towards me. This is an outrage. Well, you're not paying for Facebook. That's kind of the deal. You are the product on Facebook, and they only have what you give them. This is the government. They give you what you give others. They decide what it is. If they're tracking you, there's nowhere to go and there's no one to complain to.
Exactly. And the point before you made, there is almost a guarantee we never find out about this if Hillary Clinton wins. Mm-hmm. Because Lisa Page, what did she say to Peter Strzok? She said, we can't go loaded in for bear. She's going to probably be our next president. You think she's going to go easy on the FBI? This would have never come out. This would have been buried, and we would have never known about it. And that, at least, that it's being exposed finally, it gives at least some hope that there could be some reform. You hear the Democrats questioning yesterday. There's not, you know, it doesn't make you feel very, or the other day, you don't feel very optimistic when Kamala Harris, fresh off the campaign trail, is asking all her questions about Attorney General Bill Barr. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't think he was Attorney General in 2016. And it's completely absurd. They should take Trump out of it, take all of the political persuasion party out of it. The idea that this could happen, that they could lie about you, fabricate evidence, and ruin your life, ruin your good name, and it didn't matter to them. Looked at all your communications, everything, is such a gross abuse of power. And we do need to reform the whole FISA process if this could happen. And the scary thing was Inspector General Horowitz said, this is the first time we've actually really looked at one in particular. Terrifying. What else? I mean, this is an Obama administration that sicked the IRS on its opponents, sicked the State Department against Bibi Netanyahu, clearly sicked the FBI, NSA,
CIA. The only
CIA
time the Obama administration didn't use the full power of government was when four Americans were killed in Benghazi. Every other time they were happily turning the power of the government on their fellow American citizens.
Which is really scary. Like, what else were they doing? We need a full review of these FISA, and which is encouraging because the Inspector General said they are doing a broader view over other FISA applications, because if this can happen, such reckless regard. You know, if I have to hear one more time about Democrats accusing President Trump of being above the law, you know who thought they were above the law? All of these people at the FBI,
well,
John
been.
Brennan, Jim Clapper, but hey, the work continues.
The work continues, but, you know, if you if you die of old age while under investigation, did you ever really face justice? That's the thing.
But at least Durham, he has the power to subpoena
right.
people. You can't just say, you know, oh, I don't want my security clearance back, or, oh, I don't recall, I don't recall. They're not going to be able to all get their story straight now. He has power to compel evidence. He already convened a grand jury. This report was so damning, but it only looked at the FBI, and he didn't have all the necessary tools he could have or needed.
Does the RNC have?
We have NSA, CIA, State Department. We have a whole.
Oh, and we have a lot of people who left government, and that's what I want to ask you about. Yeah. I want to ask you about the RNC and their position on perhaps the most, I believe his ego can be seen from space. James Comey, it has a gravitational pull. Several people have burned up in its atmosphere. James Comey is the most self-righteous person on the face of the earth. And he has spent the last year not only attacking President Trump and Republicans for supporting President Trump, but extolling his own virtues. His own book was about how wonderful his leadership style was and how important it was, a no higher loyalty, meaning he was loyal to the country while Donald Trump wanted him to be loyal and take a loyalty oath to him. Thanks to Inspector General Horowitz, we now know that he's full of schiff, so to speak. Yet he is revered on the left in the media, friendly interviews this weekend. We'll see which way Chris Wallace goes on Fox News Sunday, but he's actually sitting down with somebody who stands a chance of asking him a serious question. Yet he's a very powerful weapon for the left with his title, former FBI director. He is revered, especially amongst people who aren't told the truth. Is there an official position on Director Comey?
As in regards to him being a Republican?
He's going to be on the campaign trail. In 18, he was going door knocking in Northern Virginia. He wants to be a political force. He's declared himself to be against Donald Trump. I just want to know, how is the RNC going to counter that aside from just exposing the guy for who he is?
Exactly. Playing everything he said about the dossier. I mean, what he said about the salacious allegation, and that he believed it was possible that it could still be true, and then with his sanctimony about it, just play that clip alone with what we know now. How is he convinced anybody? I don't even think the left wants this guy. He is so discredited. They hate him too. Because my favorite thing about all of this, and when you read the Inspector General report and all the just corrupt behavior that they were doing to spy on the Trump campaign, and Peter Strzok, he was, you know, briefing, he was holding mock briefings to spy on the Trump campaign's what was supposed to be a defensive briefing, like right. intelligence briefing. They embedded an agent in there to record, and he was looking for
General Flynn, which I find amazing, because 3 weeks ago, if you had said anything critical or even doubted the word of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, you were perhaps history's greatest monster, declared so by the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself. Yet we find out that the Obama administration was spying on a retired 3-star general.
And
accusing him essentially behind the scenes of being a foreign agent.
And it was all a smear campaign
yes.
against him. It was completely disgusting. But Peter Strzok, he's like one of the masterminds behind this whole thing. I'll vow to stop it. I can protect the country in a lot of ways. What he says to Lisa Page, just like James Comey, the opinion these sick people have of themselves. But because he was so obsessed with chasing down the Steele dossier's lies, they neglected Anthony Weiner's emails. And it didn't get to Comey until later, because Peter Strzok had tunnel vision on Russia. And it was like, the other one mattered because we didn't want to F something up. That's right. What he said about the Hillary Clinton email investigation, obviously. They didn't want to mess up her chances at becoming president. But this one matters because it matters. And because he did that, what did Comey have to do? He had to notify Congress. And it totally backfired on them. But so suffice to say, Democrats hate this guy. How useful is he going to be? Especially when the rest of it comes out, He's going to have bigger problems, I think, than having any time to be on the campaign trail.
It is very satisfying when bad things happen to bad people. Everyone doesn't happen all that often, but when it does. Now, let's move on to impeachment, because next week, we're barring a miracle, we're going to see two articles of impeachment pass the House of Representatives. Made up obstruction of Congress. Never heard of it before. They apparently discussed it during the Nixon impeachment that never was actually an impeachment, so it's never been voted on. So it's still a nebulous, made-up thing. And the other charge is, what was it? What's the other charge?
Abuse of power.
Abuse of power, which is, again, is a tactic rather than an actual criminal statute. You abuse your power to commit a crime. But it's going to go through, more than likely, on a party line vote. Does it matter at this point, or is so much of the opinion of this? I mean, the polls show that far more people think that Democrats are politically motivated. 59% in the Monmouth poll think that this is all about just getting Donald Trump. Is everything about this so baked in the cake that you're not even really fighting for the margins anymore? Or how do you see this playing out? It's one thing to know it's coming, and then have it pass is something else. Do you expect a change in those numbers?
No, I think if anything, you've seen as this has gone on and as their case completely fell apart and as the process got worse and worse and worse with no fairness and no due process, people, they've lost independence that may have been open to it. Not anymore. This has been such a railroad job. It has been such a travesty. Like Representative Collins said, when you really step back and think about what impeachment is supposed to be, and it's only happened such rare times in our history. Now going forward, it's going to be no crime. We don't like the guy. We don't like what had the election. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. Nancy Pelosi, well, oh, this isn't fast. We've been working on this for 22 months, no 2.5 years. I mean, everyone knows this has always been what they wanted. But the sad thing is what it does for future presidents and the precedent, they're really trivializing impeachment and lowering the bar
Do you see a time when impeachment is used almost as a no confidence vote, the way the UK happens, and then there won't be an election?
Right, which is totally not what
the
founders wanted.
Right.
But the thing is, again, everything the Democrats have tried to overturn and try to pretend that 2016 didn't happen has backfired big time, and it backfires again in this case. People know what this is about, and they know the Democrats oversold everything for so long. They lied for 3 years about Russia collusion. Also, no crime in that case. Right. No, never an underlying crime. There's not an underlying crime here. And when you look in context of everything that went on for so long, and you look at what the president said on that phone call, absolutely said nothing wrong there. Do us a favor. The country went through hell because of Democrat paid for smears. And it turned the country upside down. And it was all based on a lie. And the fact that our own government could do an information warfare campaign against itself is sickening. And President Trump had every right to be upset that he was falsely accused of treason for over 2 years and working with Russia when he had nothing to do with it. And he had every right to want to get to the bottom of it. And he has every right to follow through on his campaign promises of draining the swamp and being a good steward of our taxpayer dollars and wanting, more, most importantly, what he first mentions on the phone call, where's Europe? Why aren't they doing more? Why aren't our allies doing more? That's what it's always been about. So the Democrats just have no case, no evidence, no crime, nothing. And it's been such a one-sided show that they triggered, that they manufactured out of thin air, just like the dossier, the whistleblower complaint. I mean, it's the same tactic.
Do you guys see this more as a winning issue for Trump or a losing issue for Democrats, or is there a difference?
That's an interesting question. I haven't thought about it that way. I think it's both. I think if you look at the president's approval, they've gone up. It's never been higher. And I mean, the things, the amount, when you list out what he accomplished just since this latest impeachment in search of a crime started, he's gotten so many things done for the people. And so, of course, it puts it in contrast. This is what the Democrats are about. This is what they've been about from the beginning. They haven't done anything for their constituents. And it really makes them look bad. I think it might make them look worse. It might be on more that side of the question, but because the overreach is really unprecedented. What obstruction of Congress?
No.
What does that mean?
Is, and all you know what it means? Disputing a subpoena.
It means
that you go to
forget
court.
Separation of powers. We're the all-powerful House. It's our way. We get whatever we want. And that is totally abusing power. They're doing what they accuse President Trump of, like usual.
When these go over to the Senate, and we're looking at after the first of the year, sometime first couple of weeks of 2020, there's a divide being reported. Mitch McConnell wants this thing gone. He can just bring it up and summarily dismiss the charges with 51 votes. He rules the Senate. He knows the Senate better than anybody. He's a great tactician when it comes to Senate victories. The White House has a different tactic. They want the chance. I can understand the impulse from the president because he's looking at this is the chance for me to put on my case, for me to clear my name and put the screws to the people who have been screwing me. But from a tactical standpoint in regards to the 2020 election, once you go to a full-blown trial, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you can know the verdict because you know the jurors already in the Senate. It's not a random poll of 12 people. But anything can come out. Anything can be said. From the RNC standpoint, on those two extremes, and they are extremes on the end of how to handle a Senate trial, is there one that the party itself, the party apparatus, prefers?
I mean, the ultimate outcome, we know the president did nothing wrong, and we know he will be acquitted. I think it's a matter of we'll have to see what – I don't think it's been decided one way or the other yet. I think there's good arguments on both sides. We have not put out a position either way. There's points for both because on the one hand, throughout our history, in no – a judicial setting has a defendant not been able to face his accuser,
right,
which is absolutely appalling. And I think you've had Senator Ron Johnson say this, that he would not be in danger coming forward and testifying. He would be celebrated. He's right. Already been praised by Time Magazine.
He'd have a show on the weekend on MSNBC by the end of the day.
Exactly. He would be honored. There'd be accolades. He'd get a book deal. CBS would do a miniseries about it. I think... Because, again, we're talking about something that's so monumental, and this is so unfair that you could trigger something, a glorified leak. You can collude with Adam Schiff's committee. Adam Schiff says, we want the – feigning ignorance that he doesn't know what's in the whistleblower complaint.
Right.
We want the whistleblower to testify. Oh, suddenly we're not allowed to ask about the whistleblower once their collusion was exposed. That is just – so fundamentally unfair. And if you're trying, which it looks like they're doing it, if you're trying to overturn 63 million Americans' votes and trying to damage a president going into his reelection year with this I and an asterisk next to his name, it's completely unfair, especially when we don't get to know who started it all. It was clearly designed to trigger this impeachment, and we deserve answers. So whether it comes out in a Senate trial or otherwise, I think the American people deserve to know.
The otherwise, let's talk about the otherwise, because at the RNC, you aren't just concerned with the occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You guys are concerned about maintaining the Senate, taking back the House. How is this playing in those races? There are 36 Democrats or something like that who were elected.
31,
in,
yes.
31 Democrats who were elected in Trump districts, overwhelmingly Trump districts. They're kind of being painted into a corner by their leadership. But is it really going to play well in the, is that going to be the decisive issue? Are you guys seeing something in the polling data that suggests that the people who just elected those 31 people, if they vote to impeach Donald Trump on this evidence, they've it's going to damage them, or is it, how does it play in those races?
It's extremely damaging, and we've seen it in town halls throughout these districts. People are really upset that they're doing this, and because this is not what they ran on. And all these districts after district, you look at these different states, they promise to run on issues that matter to people. Mm. You know, it doesn't matter to people. Far left political vendetta and hatred of President Trump. You know, newsflash, normal Americans have accepted the results of 2016. They've gotten on with their lives. And guess what? They've gotten on with their lives and they see, wow, I'm making more money. I got a new, better job. My family's doing better. The country's doing better. That's what matters to them. And so when you look at all these different districts, people are so upset and they're losing any credibility of why they got into office. They got into office, they said, their words, not mine, I'm not going to bring a partisan pitchfork to Washington. We want to get things done. A lot of times that involves reaching across the aisle, working with the president. This is all what these different Democrats, 31 of them, said. And what have they done? They have nothing to show for it. For all this talk about how Nancy Pelosi is a skillful, tactful politician, she's gotten them into a mess.
Yes.
She left USMCA sitting on her desk for a year without doing it. And that's how you know.
Well, she said she was such a loser. She made it significantly better. And she wouldn't lie, would she?
No, never. it's amazing to see that her on tape, oh, we're really close, back in April, May, June, July. It's such a joke. We know it's such a political loser. Just look at what Nancy Pelosi did. She announced they're moving forward with articles with Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and Maxine Waters, been calling for impeachment since February 2017.
45.
Right. No questions. No. And then all of a sudden they're back in the room like 30 minutes later. She's got the entire caucus surrounded. They all wanted to be in the shot.
Right.
So they could be like, look, we actually did something. Well, it's not going to be enough. And people understand that by now. Democrats have told us phony story after phony story after phony story. They lied to get into office. President Trump, he's been doing everything he said he was going to do, and the country's better off. Let's stop with the endless investigations. You have Representative Al Green, who says we have to impeach the president or otherwise he's going to get reelected. And he's also saying, hey, we can impeach him again.
Multiple times. Karen Bass said, we can always come back and take
and
another bite at this.
And it's just pathetic.
Apple.
And what are they going to get done next year? They've been so disingenuous and they've been so blinded by, they don't want to give the president any victories. They don't want to negotiate with him. And he's been so open to working on issues like infrastructure, getting the border finally secured, making a deal on DACA, all these different things, and they've rejected it. And people see that.
Across the aisle, well, the House does have their own problems with the Democrats and Trump districts. Republicans have their own problems. There seems to be an exodus. More than 20 Republicans have announced their retirement. Some of that can be written off as if you've been in the majority in the House, you don't like being in the minority in the House. You don't matter at all in the minority in the House. And some people just timed out. They weren't going to be committee chairman anymore. So they said, I don't want to go back and be a backbencher. So it can explain some of that. But there is conventional wisdom, and there might be some truth to this, that some of those other, the younger ones, heard in Texas, for example, stepping away because they don't think the Republicans are going to retake the House. They want to get out now. They don't want to be a part of the fight. What are the chances? What is the RNC's response to the idea that Republicans are retiring because they think that they're not going to retake the House next year?
I think we're very optimistic. I mean, we see it throughout all of these districts, and we see the just outpouring of support we've had. We've record month after month. We never had an October after Nancy Pelosi announced this, like in an off year. We crashed all records. We have the resources, we have the message, and we're active in all these states that we never left. And so we feel very good about 2020. And we have some bright new stars in the House.
And why are so many members retiring? Elise Stefanik was great, but she's new. some of these other people who theoretically could be leaders and could be important and certainly would themselves likely maintain their seats, and them stepping down, give it at least a chance of flipping. Why are they choosing to step back now when you would say that they're needed more than ever?
I think largely for the reasons you had mentioned, which is Nancy Pelosi's house is a miserable place to be when you're in the minority, which you can understand. It's a big sacrifice. You know, conservatives and Republicans are usually successful in the private sector. They like living their lives. They like their freedom. They like just, you know, having a normal life. And it is a sacrifice to serve in the House and serve in government, whatever role it is. And so I think, of course, that's always a challenge. And it's always a challenge when we have the term limits like we do, like we've imposed on ourselves. So if you're not moving up in leadership or you're limited, that you can't stay for too long, that's a factor as well. However, we feel very, very good about our opportunities throughout the country, especially just given what the Democrats have done and what the Democrats are selling. And most importantly, Donald Trump's going to be at the top of the ticket this time. And that is going to be a huge benefit all the way down ballot.
If I had told you last time you were in here, and you were in here 5-6 months ago, that Kamala Harris would be out of the race, that Beto O'Rourke, you might have believed he would have just burned out. I couldn't believe he was getting as much glowing press as he was before. But Kamala Harris is a bit of a surprise, because it seemed like even if she was stumbling, the media was going to drag her across the finish line. As the Democratic field begins to shake out before Iowans even have a chance to vote, is there anything that surprised you thus far? It's been Biden and then somebody else and then somebody else. There's always somebody else winning the silver, but it's eventually Biden in the national polls.
I'm a little surprised Biden's still, I guess, technically the front runner, because he's had such a disastrous campaign.
I almost feel bad talking about
it. It's really kind of sad.
And elder abuse when you watch Joe Biden. I just feel bad for him.
I am a little surprised that she's already out, but I think I'm not surprised that she's out in general, or that she's not going to be the nominee.
Right.
She was very, very
poor. She was raking
candidate.
In the money, and it just seems like horrible mismanagement of a campaign.
But you need
a
lot to be
already.
Successful in politics, especially presidential politics, and she just does not have that factor. But I will always credit Kamala Harris for really laying down where the Democrat Party was going to be in this race with, yes, let's eliminate all of that, all of your private health care, and really set the tone for what the Democrats are all about with the way they've pushed left with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and their government takeovers of health care. That's exactly what they would do. And I'm glad she was so honest about it way back. And when was that? Her first town hall as a major presidential candidate. And I can't say I won't miss her too much, but we certainly – I actually kind of missed her when, you know, she was moving to Iowa and she wasn't in the Senate, because now I have to hear her questioning and attacking Catholics and, you know, attacking Bill Barr and just it's endless. It's really –
I want to give a list. I want to give some names of Democrats. I want you to give me the first thing that comes to your mind. Not one word. It can be one word if it's just one word, like Joe Biden's inner monologue is duh. But your first thought that comes to mind as somebody who's going to be, you know, one of the major spokespeople behind the fight against them. First off, we go Joe Biden. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Terrible politician, ineffective, and not with it anymore.
I don't think you're going to vote for her. Elizabeth Warren.
Socialist.
Right to the point.
Central. No, even more accurate, a central planner.
Bernie Sanders.
He's socialist.
Say, you don't want to burn that one.
Bernie Sanders, revolutionary. He revolutionized the Democrat Party to totally embrace socialism.
Pete Buttigieg.
Totally disingenuous and not a moderate.
But you got to be impressed a little bit with his ability to be a mayor of a smaller city, to come in and matter to fight and matter for an extended period of time and actually pull ahead, at least right now, in Iowa and New Hampshire, against people that, if it was just based on resumes, he wouldn't be on the same stage with, and he's beating them.
Right, which I think goes back to what I kind of said about Kamala Harris. You need a lot to be successful in politics, and he has way more charisma than Kamala Harris had. It's just like
beating him.
But you know, he has got some sort of speaking ability.
Yes.
And not to be – when you see Kamala Harris, you know she has no idea what she believes, and she's going to change it no matter what you ask her. So but he – you know, he's kind of – he's kind of mean though.
When it comes to religion, it's funny watching
that's
him try
what
to
really,
use religion.
You know, he really goes after – I hate to hear him on the one hand. He's supposed to be a moderate now, which is completely
right, –
he's for getting rid of the Electoral College, packing the Supreme Court, abortion up until your first breath, I guess.
First birthday.
I mean, he's using the Bible to justify
– abortion.
Abortion, which is just a different level of how far the left has gone. But to, on the one hand, to say, "Oh, I'm willing to go on Fox, and we gotta get other people to vote for us," but the disdain he has for evangelical Republicans is really up there.
He does it with calm, though. It's weird. It's kind of like Adam Schiff in his presentation on CNN or MSNBC. He's willing to sit there and be very calm and say the biggest pile of garbage lies you've ever heard with a straight face. So there's something to be said in that.
Says it in a nice way, but then you listen to what he's saying, and it's horrifying.
Oh, yeah, if you read it, you'd go,
wow, that's really insulting.
Good Lord. does the RNC pay attention to the rest of the field? Is there a thoughts about an Andrew Yang, which he seems like more of a novelty candidate, but interesting and certainly more sincere, genuine, crazy, but more genuine than most of the rest of the field?
You know, it's kind of our job to pay attention to them. Do they matter? That's another question. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's only, you know, who is it? Biden, Warren, Buttigieg?
Sanders.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's not
Michelle
really
Obama, the late entrant, as everybody seems to think she's going to enter the race come January. Is there, in case of emergency, break glass plan over at the RNC just in case Michelle Obama decides to go for it?
I just don't see it. I do not see it. She really didn't like the job of first lady is what I remember.
She really liked the country all that much. But
first time she was proud to be American was the Obamas in the White House. I don't know. I don't want to give away our, you know, game plan.
Hillary Clinton. Do you guys think that
would be amazing.
In your gaming session, sitting around drinking liquor or coffee in the morning, whichever you drink in the morning, is there a chat about she could really get in there? Because it's talked about constantly.
She's crazy enough.
She would
win. She's absolutely – she's got enough sycophants around her that she believes – I mean, she's always believed the presidency is hers and that she's entitled to it. This is a woman who literally thinks she lost the presidency among many, many reasons. It's a very long – not lost, that it was stolen from her.
Obviously.
Because of flashing videos that disappear and reappear
it
on
happens.
The inner – on the deep – what was it? On the,
it was on
dark,
the dark web. Yeah.
So she can believe it. She can convince herself of anything.
Judging by her emails, she doesn't even know how to print. So I'm not really sure she's surfing out the dark web and finding these videos.
How dare she do that to the environment, printing out all those emails?
Lastly, as you guys, you campaign or you maintain an arsenal against these people and you comment on them as news warrants and as media reaches out to you, but you also fundraise off of it. I imagine there's some sort of polling or data collection and something to see which of those names, removing Clinton and Michelle Obama, which one of those names excites the Republican base more. There's a Republican base, 90% of which is very excited to vote for Donald Trump regardless. There's 10% that could have their excitement turned up to 11 based on who they get to vote against. Which person on the Democratic side is the one that turns the excitement of the people who want to vote against somebody up to 11?
I think it's kind of obvious, or what I mean, just personally, what we would say. Who knows? And President Trump said at his rally this week, he dreams about Buttigieg. I think he would be up there too. This is a guy he's never going to get. It would be a landslide. It would absolutely be a landslide. And any of these people, honestly, Joe Biden.
Personally, I would love to vote against Bernie Sanders, just to know Bernie that Sanders, I got to all register so that
out there.
That's that one tangible thing against an avowed socialist. You know, to be able to do that, I'll happily vote against all of them. I'm not making news here, but Bernie Sanders would be a watching him lose would bring me a sense of satisfaction, only beaten by watching Hillary lose the first time.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I see them all kind of as the same, but I would feel.
But there's nothing.
I would
feel like you people, send out a fundraising email
and our base.
You get a bigger response because you're blasting Elizabeth Warren over Buttigieg or over Joe Biden.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what the answer to that question is. I'm sure we probably do get a bigger response for certain.
Well, much candidates. Like a congressional hearing, we're going to submit the questions in writing and you can get back to us in 3 to 6 days.
I mean, I think we'd love to run against any of them. The field is so weak.
Yes.
And that just shows you that's why Bloomberg's getting in and all this.
Oh, I forgot
all
about
this talk
Bloomberg.
About See, Michelle Obama.
He's got dropped $100 million on advertisement to get to 5% in the polling. So far, Tom Steyer is a non-entity. He's not even going to make the next debate stage.
They have
stage,
more billionaires than people, persons of color, on the next debate stage. Fun fact.
Fun is the operative word. Where can people go to find out more, Elizabeth?
Go to GOP.com. Go to StopTheMadness.com. That's our official anti-impeachment push back again, to hold Democrats accountable in all these districts that we mentioned. Go to DonaldJTrump.com. That's the official campaign website. Yeah, and get involved. Sign up. Volunteer. It's going to be a fun time now till election day.
Lord knows we need you. Lord knows you're going to be busy, but we'll check in with you in a couple of months. Elizabeth Harrington, national spokesman for the Republican National Committee. Thanks for coming in. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hope you get at least a day off in there somewhere.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Maybe.
Merry Christmas.
Maybe. Thank you,
we
guys.
We can say Merry Christmas again.
Yes, exactly. thanks for watching. Happy Friday the 13th, if that's your bag. If not, get out from under the couch tomorrow. You'll be safe. PatriotPenguin.com for all of these cards and all your greeting cards needs. We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Well, you'll see me on video next week, and you'll hear me on Monday. I'm back live, right? Well, not live, because this is a podcast, but I just wanted to say thank you for listening. Don't forget to go to GetTheTea.com and check out Life Change Tea. Support all of our sponsors. Thank you for supporting this show. Most importantly, with your ears, that counts more than anything, because that lets me know that I'm not just talking to myself and cats in a basement with a kid screaming in the background. Friday is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the weekend. There's not going to be calm before the storm, because the House will probably have voted today to advance articles of impeachment to the full House. The mess is only going to get bigger. That's why you got to rest up this weekend. Enjoy it. Have an adult beverage or whatever it is you do to relax. And I'll see you on Monday.